Let us be in prayer. Dear God, open our minds and our hearts so that we may receive your message in the scriptures that we are about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Old Testament lesson comes from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, and you can find that in your Pew Bible on page 629 if you would like to read along. The potter and the clay. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done?" says the Lord. "Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Here ends the reading from the Old Testament. Our New Testament reading comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and there's two different readings here, chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and you can find those on pages 938 and 939. "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." And then verses 6 and 7. "For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us." Here ends the reading from the epistle.
Thank you, Kim. A word of prayer. Loving God, we are shaped by you and we are so grateful. We are loved by you and so our shapes are beautiful. In your spirit, may we live and dwell and have our being. Amen. Well, I learned a thing or two while I was on vacation a week ago. Maybe only a preacher would have been intrigued, but even though we've been going up to Old Mission Peninsula north of Traverse City for years, this year I learned that the mission part of Old Mission came from a Presbyterian missionary, the Reverend Peter Doherty, who ministered to Native Americans there in the 1830s. I also learned that my schoolboy images of missionaries who heroically traveled through the frontier alone were wrong, at least for Reverend Doherty, because he brought his wife with him, plus a hunter-trapper, a farmer, and a carpenter. Apparently, it takes a whole village to support a missionary. In fact, the carpenter built the first frame house in the area. I know this because we toured the restored 185-year-old home. And at the house, I also became reacquainted with the term privy archaeology. You heard right, privy archaeology. It's just what the words imply. Before indoor plumbing or weekly garbage pickups, the privy or the outhouse could also be used as a place to dispose of non-recyclable household goods and broken crockery. Generations later, when life has moved on and the smell is gone, such items can be unearthed by archaeologists to see a bit of what everyday life was like way back when. Whether common clay pots or sacred vessels, stuff happens. The shards of what once was are left behind and may teach what could be. Now, there is a point to this long introduction, because I think for us to learn a thing or two about the Bible, there's a bit of archaeology involved. Plus, in uncovering and understanding the sacred story of the Judeo-Christian faith heritage, the past can be seen as prelude. For example, just inspect the Bible's imagery about broken pottery. One doesn't have to dig very far to realize that the prophet Jeremiah meant long ago to liken God, the Creator, to a potter. A potter who knows when the clay vessel he is shaping on a wheel is not turning out as planned, or if it breaks and out into the privy it should go. Jeremiah was not being kind. God was the potter, Israel the clay. His prophecy was that Israel was turning out to be a bad design. The prophet's anger at the nation's disregard for faith and their lack of decency was huge. In Jeremiah 8, we could read what he said about his people. They act shamefully. They commit abominations, yet they are not ashamed. They don't even know how to blush. Imagine if you came across an archaeological dig somehow that preserved a fragment of those words on a clay tile. Israel would have been seen as a society in trouble, and it was. But more to the point, what might anthropologists of the future think if someday they came across a recording about what is said by the media or in our living rooms about politics and our culture and those with whom we disagree today? Talk about the practice of name-calling. Could others really be that bad? Are we that deceitful? Do we blush anymore? Thank goodness that the Apostle Paul offered up a different understanding of the clay bowl on the potter's wheel. His words in 2 Corinthians, see God still at the potter's wheel working the clay. The Creator hasn't quit despite all that has been. God continues to shape the vessels so that they are more capable of holding the spiritual treasure given to us in Christ Jesus now. Thanks be to God. Still, even with that great possibility and promise, Paul knew that stuff happens. The maxim holds true that life breaks everyone, and that was so for Paul. Just a little farther in 2 Corinthians, he made the comparison to himself, saying that he too had been afflicted and perplexed and even persecuted. Yet though he could be broken, he would not be driven to despair, because God was with him through it all and would help pick up the pieces to put him back together again in glory. In Paul's Christian theology, the human vessels shaped by God's hands for Christ's love are not disposable. As another saying goes, God doesn't make junk. And in response to life's wounding, God intervenes to mend the cracks and heal the soul. Amen. But aren't those two messages of the scriptures opposite of one another? First, there's Jeremiah's judgmental warning about God the potter, who is capable of throwing dysfunctional nations and people into the privy. That versus Paul's beautiful image of God continuing to shape who we are to be able to hold the spiritual treasure of Christ's Spirit. So who is right? Should we who are like common clay pots be afraid, very afraid? Or can we be thankful, very hopeful because of God in Christ? Well, maybe a bit of both. Jeremiah and Paul are in agreement about one thing. Each one, whether the thunderously judgmental one or the thankful other one, the same viewpoint is the beginning point. It is to recognize the cracks and chips, the imperfections that are embedded in the human story. Jeremiah's message was that God's frustration when people deny that. Jeremiah's message was about God's frustrations when people deny that that is so. He was talking about those who pretended there is no shame when there really are many reasons for it. Don't assume innocence, he said. Don't pretend blamelessness, he related. The real truth is that we all play a part in what goes wrong. As another cartoon says, we have met the enemy, and he is us. The only way out of the mess is to meet the enemy head on. Brokenness is a human condition, so take a candid moral inventory. Factor who you are in the dark into the measure you make of your righteousness during the day. Pretending that one is without fault, that is the sinful part. Let me put it this way. Did you know in antiquity that the word sincere was a spin-off for this issue? Today we speak of sincerity as a mark of a person's integrity. In Roman times, the Latin words sincera were used by merchants in advertising the integrity of their pottery. Because stuff happened. Pottery broke. Some of the broken pieces got thrown away. Other pieces, especially expensive glazed pottery, were repaired. But some entrepreneurs hid the damage with wax. Wax that could be painted to look like there wasn't any fault at all. Someone would buy a valuable piece of pottery for a bargain, not knowing that it had been fixed with wax, until they took it home, put it on the window, and in the hot sun, the wax melted. That's why honest merchants had sincera as advertisements in their windows. Sincera, without wax. Sincerity doesn't have to mean purity, but it is about honesty. It's about owning up to the facts that we have, that we're all in this together, and only together can we get out of the hole we've helped dig. That, or some future generation, a new civilization doing privy archaeology on our scattered remains will be bewildered about the past and say, they acted shamefully. Didn't they realize it? Instead, this can be true. Instead, this can be something we can do. Because stuff happens, there is brokenness. Therefore, people of God can take on a ministry of repair. You may never have heard of that term before, but I think it's a very good one for today's world, a ministry of repair. Not cover-ups, but compassion and genuine human concern for the situations that we are in. Like the prophet Isaiah, who called upon his people long ago to be repairer of the streets we live in. Or at the end of the Bible, when Revelation speaks that heaven will be on earth when cities are repaired, like a new Jerusalem where mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Repairers of life's brokenness, healing what has broken down, bringing out the worth in those who have been displaced and those who have been disregarded or discriminated against, bringing life into an old church that needs the oxygen of the Holy Spirit, turning common clay bowls into sacred vessels. That's a mission of repair that will never be old. And this truth, above all else, in sacred love, God is also one who repairs what has been broken. Despite what happens to the crockery, I believe that God sees spiritual treasure that is within it, and so the Holy One, the Divine Potter, leaves the wheel to become a repairer of the breach, healer as well as creator. In that spirit, I have one more image to add to all these pottery metaphors. I want to introduce you to a beautiful and sacred art form, one that has a long heritage in Japan, and it is called kintsugi. The word means golden repair. It's a process of repairing broken pottery with lacquer that has been mixed with gold dust. So, take out your bulletin and look at the cover. Guess what? That's a bowl with such kintsugi golden repair. Its cracks and fissures have been, in essence, rebonded with gold. That which was broken isn't hidden, but it has become transformed. A song written by Peter Mayer about the metaphor of kintsugi pots puts that beautifully in perspective, and it begins, "I'm like one of those Japanese bowls that were made long ago. I have some cracks in me, but they have been filled with gold." Believe that is God's repair business. When God sees us with brokenness, the Lord is not alienated. Instead, as the artist of creation's redemption, God both repairs and transforms who we are, so that God's own become sacred vessels and treasures in the service of love. Amen.